Deuteronomy 6th chapter. These are the commands, decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land, flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Heavenly Father, your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. And please help us to listen to it carefully now. We pray that you'd encourage us and correct us where we need it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Why do we bother with children's work? Why do we run Sunday clubs each week? And Rooted, and RBS, and Rock Solid, and Tea and Tots. We spend a ginormous amount of time and resources and money on things for people under 18 to teach them God's word. If you were to go to both services on a Sunday, you would hear two sermons from two different people who have spent time in the week praying and thinking and writing those sermons for us to hear. But whether it's 50 people or 150, it's the same amount of time preparing it. But an average week of youth and children's work can involve 8 or 9 Bible studies or talks being written and delivered, hours of prayers being said, crafts being designed and shopped for, up to 10 different rooms or halls being set up and put away again, many cakes being baked, teenagers being read the Bible with. It involves over 30 volunteers in a single week. We give massive resources to our children and youth work. But why? And while this is what we're thinking about today, for the next half an hour or so, this talk is thematic, so that means we're looking at what the whole Bible says about children's work. And we'll be using a couple of different passages. So therefore, we certainly won't cover everything in the next 29 minutes. But with some big brushstrokes, we're going to be thinking about what the Bible has to say about children and youth work. But before we dive in, here's a statistic from a survey from 2017 asking Christians at what age they came to faith. And isn't it interesting that 75% of practicing Christians surveyed became Christians before they were 18? I think statistics are great because they basically just back up what the Bible says is going to happen. Because this is the expected pattern that Deuteronomy 6 sets out for us. And we'll have this off the screen. Thanks, Adrian. God expects and wants children that his people have to follow him and know him and love him. First one from our reading today says, these are the commands, decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children and their children after may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands. He's pretty much saying, do children's work. And the aim is verse 2, so that your children and their children fear the Lord. And let me show you a bit of the logic in these verses. I think it goes something like this. This passage says, keep God's commands so that your children fear him. But what are his commands? And well, to summarize, it's that famous verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. So we have, love the Lord so that your children fear him. But then it's actually put one last way. He says, talk about God to your children. That's verse 7. When you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Now he's saying, talk about the Lord so that your children fear him. So we have keep his commands, love him, talk about him. Also that your children fear and obey and love him too. So why do children's work? And well, I think there's two reasons. Because it's a command and because it is a natural response. And firstly, the context of Deuteronomy 6 helps us a lot to understand why this would be a natural response. So here we are, and we're 5 books into the Bible. And to catch you up, here's what's happened. We've been doing this in Rooted on Sunday mornings in the last few weeks. After God creates a world that is perfect, it only takes 2 chapters for people to mess it all up, to think that they know better than God and to sin against him. In fact, in Genesis 6, when God looked at what he created, he was sad because he saw that every intention of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And that's how it's put. And up to Deuteronomy 6, it's basically been a continuous cycle of forgiveness, rescue, and then God's people let him down again. Rescue, let down. Rescue, let down. And by Deuteronomy, God's shown himself to be so patient and so gracious. It's a completely natural response to love a God like this. And yet, I think we can quickly forget how good our Heavenly Father is and how good the gospel is. I think sometimes it doesn't feel very natural to remember these things. I don't know what it is that you naturally talk about at home or over lunch or at the school gates or getting a coffee at work. Often I think it's just the weather because we're boring and British. But generally though, we talk about what we love, or at least we talk about what we care about, say Brexit, GCSEs, football. In verse 7, it says, talk about God and his commands when you sit at home or when you walk along the street. And in a sense, it should be natural to talk of God's kindness to us in sending Jesus, or about prayers he's answered recently, or about how he's given us a hope that one day we'll be free from the brokenness of this world. When we stop and think, I'm sure most of us in this room would say, I think God is good, and I do love him, and I want other people to share this. And so actually, therefore, telling my children about the Lord is obviously a natural and an ordinary thing to do. But secondly, this is also a clear command from God. Love the Lord, he says. I think we could quite easily feel the tension between a natural response and a command. And I think we're supposed to, because isn't a command to love quite a strange command. And verse 5, and do it with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Here, love is an action, it's a verb, not just a feeling. But I think that we're helped by God when he also says, obey him and talk about him, in case this feels a bit abstract. And the effect of this is back to verse 2, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God. It is a clear thing that doing children's work is the expected pattern for Christians. But this brings us to our second question this morning. Who does children's work? Well, maybe you're sitting thinking, well, we employ a children's worker at this church, and we're sorted, thank you very much. Well, the Bible gives us two answers to this question. Firstly, it is the job of the big family unit. So Psalm 78 is going to pop up on the screen behind me. And verse 4 is the headline, really. It says, we will not hide them, that's the things that we've heard and known, from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. One generation telling the next generation about Jesus. That is what it's saying. This is a corporate job. That means we're all in this together. If you're a Christian sitting here today, if you're someone who believes that we really do have a God who has done praiseworthy things, then we should be telling the next generation about him too. If we were to think about this in the context outside of church or outside of on a Sunday, well, this is what Rock Solid is doing, or Holiday Club. For children who might not hear these things from their parents, we are telling the next generation about him. And therefore, actually, it's a privilege and a joy to do this when we think of the good news that we have. That should be heard by all. But thinking back to within the context of church, well, one generation telling the next, it makes quite logical sense. So a few weeks ago in 1 Corinthians 12, we thought about how we are each part of the body of Christ. So if one of us is rejoicing, we should all rejoice. If one of us is suffering, then we're all suffering. We should be invested in people, in each other. And so, of course, this is the same with children. This is where the church is so special and so different to the rest of the world, because we're not on our own if we're part of a church. And I think especially in this area of family and children, I think this is often the place where we can suffer the most. So in a broken world where married couples sometimes struggle to conceive, or where women have miscarriages, or in marriages where the mum and dad aren't living together anymore, or where we have single parents in the church, or even if our children are just having a tough time, this can be a real area of hurt for us. And therefore, I think it is an amazing thing to be part of a big family unit. I think this passage gives us permission to care about the children in our church. So you don't have to be a parent or a godparent. It's simply one generation telling the next, loving each other and supporting each other in this. There's an old African proverb that you've probably heard. It takes a village to raise a child. Well, I think Psalm 78 is saying it takes a church to raise a child. As a big family unit, as a church, it is our job corporately to be telling the next generation about Jesus, whoever we are. And it's our job to be supporting each other in this, and to be supporting parents in this. One encouraging thing that I sometimes see in Christchurch is where men or women are taking a real interest in a child or a teenager's life. Even if they're not their parents, You know, being a role model for a younger child, for a younger Christian, to be someone to talk about deep things to, or just to be a friend, I think is a really amazing thing for both people in the relationship. One generation telling the next. And finally, this also impacts how we view our Sunday club, and which in one sense is just a regular and organized way of doing this each week. So these verses mean that to help in Sunday club, you don't just have to be a mum who has a couple of kids already. In fact, I was really pleased to see on the rota a few men, especially when I look at a couple of our age groups, and some of them are just full of boys. And it is a fantastic thing to have godly men who could be role models for these boys and tell them about Jesus every Sunday. In fact, actually, this psalm helps us recognize that children are a really important part of church. So we were talking about this in our staff meeting a couple of weeks ago, and we thought, actually, we should probably have a couple more children's songs every now and again in our normal services. And this is also the reason why we have children's talks most weeks, because it's important that our services are including the younger generation. And this is why we pour so much energy into our children's work on Sundays. Instead of just bunging them in a room together, locking the door, sticking a film on each week. Well, actually, in each of our four Sunday club rooms, there are great conversations about Jesus happening every week as the leaders are telling the children and teenagers about him. Well, as the last thing on this big family unit, isn't it striking that the qualifications you need to be part of this is that you just need to be able to talk? So if you want an application for this, think to yourself, how can I tell the next generation about Jesus? So it doesn't have to be signing up to be a Sunday school leader this afternoon. Although, for some people, I might expect this. But it could mean trying to talk to a teenager after the service today, or inviting a family around for lunch one week, or getting to know a younger mum or dad and seeing how they're doing, maybe passing on any tips that you've got if you're one of the more experienced parents among us. Well, who does children's work? It's one generation telling the next about Jesus. The whole church family telling our children about the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. But the Bible has one more answer too about who is to do family, who is to do children's work. And that is the small family unit. So this is from Ephesians chapter 6. It's going to come onto the screen now. Here's what it says, verse 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Well, maybe this is the bit that all the parents in the room have been waiting for. So if your teenager's sitting next to you, give them a nudge, tell them to read verse 1. But here is a biblical principle for children's work. The people primarily responsible for discipling children are their parents. And verse 4 says, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And in fact, it's the father's job to be leading this work, which makes complete sense if you know the rest of Ephesians well. But as a caveat, this might very well be a painful thing to hear if you are trying to teach your children by yourself, perhaps as a single mum. And although this is hard, isn't it a wonderful thing that we do have a wider church family, the big family unit, to support us in this? When we look back to Deuteronomy 6, where we started, these things from Ephesians seem quite a logical thing. We've slightly come full circle. Because who is going to find it easiest to talk about God when you're walking down the road to school, when you're sat at home eating dinner, when you're about to go to bed? Well, these are the times that children usually spend with their parents each day. Of course, parents are best placed to bring up their children in the training and the instruction of the Lord. I don't think this is a particularly surprising command from God. It's very clear that the people primarily responsible for discipling children are their parents. If you were to count the number of verses about parenting in the New Testament, you'd find surprisingly few, maybe just six or so. And often they're repeats of each other even. So I think that this means that we have freedom to parent in different ways. There's no correct Christian method of parenting. There's no Christchurch method of parenting. Just do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Two things that I've heard from people wiser than me. They say, remember this, every parent always feels guilty and every parent always feels tired. And as someone with only 2 months' experience of being a parent myself, I can certainly already see this in my life. Yet both times, the remedy for this is just to remember the gospel, that Jesus went to the cross because we don't live perfect lives. He died for us because we are sinful, we're lazy, we're passive, unloving, we're wrongly angry with our children. In fact, that is the gospel. God loves us even though we don't love him or the people around us. And so actually we can be certain that we're forgiven by God and that he is our perfect heavenly father. And as parents, we certainly need to remember this every day. I want to think back about that first question again. Why do children's work? Or to put it slightly differently, for the parents in this room, what do we want for our children? Do we want them to know God? I know a lot of us in this room would certainly say yes. Of course I want my children to have a personal relationship with God. Well, then I want to ask, do you think your children know that? If you ask them, what do you think mummy and daddy want for you the most? What would they say? I think this is one of my biggest prayers as I pray for the parents here at Christ Church, that the parents' strongest desires for their children would be that they love the Lord. And of course, this is a hard thing to want. We can so easily feel the pull of the world and the things that the world around us prioritise. Of course, we want our children to have security in the future, to have jobs that they enjoy. We want them to marry someone good for them. And these are all good things, of course. But it is easy for these things to become the most important thing. I think one current example of this is that it's exam season right now. Christians certainly should be people that work hard in everything that they do. But as parents, what are we telling little Fido if in his GCSE year and we continue to drive him around to karate practice on Monday night after school, to Tiddlywinks Club on Tuesday, to his banjo lesson on Wednesday night? But then it gets to Thursday and you mention to him, oh, Fido, you've had a busy week. And why not give Bible study a miss tonight? And why not do some revision instead? And what are we telling him about our true priorities if we say this to him? So what is it that you do prioritize in your family life? I've got a friend who takes his five-year-old to Costa every Saturday morning for a one-to-one. So when I first heard this, firstly I thought it was hilarious, but also quite intense. But then actually, I thought about it, and all it is a little boy going to Costa with his dad at the weekend. They get a milkshake, they hang out, they read a Bible story together, and they talk about it. Maybe they say a little prayer at the end. And then that's it. It's not a scary thing. And yet, it shows that little five-year-old, this is what my dad thinks is important. And they have a great time. I've heard it said before, if we don't do devotions with our children, the world will be doing devotions with them, but they're far more subtle. If we don't bring our children up in the training and the instruction of the Lord, if we don't teach our children to love God, well, then the world will be teaching them to love something else. And I don't say this to condemn, but just to remind and encourage you that it is worth it investing time teaching and talking to your children about God. And thankfully, he has given us what we need to do this. He has given us his word. He's put his spirit in us. We have everything we need to disciple our own children. Reading the Bible with your children each week is the most important thing you could be doing, because it is his word that teaches us about him. It is powerful to grow us as Christians. I think there is no more valuable way that you could spend 10 minutes with your child. And I certainly know that some families are doing this regularly already in church. And please do come and have a chat with me if you don't know where to start with this. It can feel hard sometimes. Or better still, why not chat to some other parents and ask them what they do, how they do it, and how they find it. I want to show you a podcast I've discovered recently. It's called Faith in Kids. And it's by a guy who's got nearly 20 years of experience in children's ministry. And he's recorded himself sitting down with 10 different families. He borrows their children and they do a 10-minute Bible time together. So it's funny. It's very chaotic. It's simple. But all they do is read the Bible together and they talk about it. Give it a listen if it sounds helpful for you. But let me finish where we started. We have a good God who has rescued us by his own son's death on the cross. When we bring only sin and failure to our relationship with him, he brings forgiveness and love. And he has made us his children, and we can call him our Father. So let us be excited to speak of him to those younger than us, and to take his command to do so seriously, both in little family units and supporting each other in our big family unit. One generation telling the next generation about the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we really do have a good gospel. We pray that you would help us to want to talk of you naturally to all the people around us, but especially those who are younger than us. Please help us to take your command seriously and help us to do it joyfully, together as the whole church, as well as in our smaller family units as well. In Jesus' name, amen.